Welcome back into the game here in Tuscaloosa on the new Tide 99.1 and Tide99.1.com, the home of Alabama sports. It's a Throwback Thursday presented by Brian Harden Construction. We've already spoke with Ozzie Newsome. Now we're speaking with Greg McElroy. He's an SEC college football analyst for ESPN, part of the SEC Network. He's a national championship winning quarterback. Greg McElroy, welcome back to T-Town. I hope you're doing
well. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
So how are you preparing for the upcoming season? It's probably a little bit different. No football, but I'm sure you're having to study a lot about college football.
Oh, absolutely. Well, honestly, this is the first offseason in a number of years where I'm not watching just my team. I remember, in the NFL, I was watching nothing but Jets in the offseason, all Jets all the time. And in college, it was all Alabama all the time. So not doing the self-scout, being able to watch some other teams, being able to learn about other teams, and being able to kind of gnaw into all these great teams at the SEC, I'm really thankful and really happy to have the opportunity.
You know, a lot of players, and I know you probably haven't realized this yet, but a lot of players that we talk to that have made that transition from playing the game and to now as a college football analyst, it gives them a way to get tied back to the sport. I mean, you know what I mean? It's still connected with something that you love and you've been playing since you were a kid.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's a nice transition out of the game because, quite frankly, all I do now is exactly what I did all the time, minus the fact that I'm actually out there taking snaps. So I'm still watching film. I'm still studying teams. I'm still learning tendencies. All those things are part of my daily routine. So it's really kind of a fun way to transition out because I still feel like I'm playing. Except my body feels a little bit better. And I don't have to get beat up quite as much. So I'm enjoying it. I've really had a great time so far, and the people at the SEC Network have been fantastic, and I'm looking forward to taking on our first season together as a team.
Absolutely. All right, so you prepare for the upcoming season in a different way, okay? How are you preparing to interview Nick Saban? I mean, because you're going to get that chance. At some point, you're going to have to ask him the tough questions. How are you preparing to go against a Nick Saban? Because he's pretty rough on us media guys.
Oh, he is. He is. He's tough on media guys, but I'm not concerned about it because I know I'll approach Coach Saban with the same amount of respect that he'll show me, and he's a great coach. He's a guy that I have a tremendous relationship with and think the world of, so for that reason, I'm looking forward to that opportunity. I know it'll be soon, and I can't wait. I can't get here soon enough.
Yeah, well, he gives us that look, when we ask a question, which is going to be great from your perspective because you had a chance to play for Nick Saban. We're going to talk about the SEC, but I want to go back. Do you remember that transition period when Coach Shula fired, resigned, whatever word you want to use there, and then Nick Saban arrived? Do you remember that first meeting when Nick Saban met with the players? What did he tell you guys?
Well, I mean, I remember a little bit. It was kind of a brief meeting. It was in early January, and at that point, he had to hit the ground running recruiting. So it was really brief, but he kind of made mention, hey, I'm Nick Saban, introduced the coaching staff. It was very brief. But you could tell immediately that he meant business, and for that reason, everyone listened. I think everyone got a little bit tight when he walked into the room for the first time. He just sends out that type of aura. I mean, he really has an impact on the people around him, and you can tell when he walks into a room. So for that reason, he demands respect, and of course, everyone on the team gave that to him.
Probably one of the smartest guys that ever had a chance to wear the crimson jersey. You understand the business side of a lot of things. You've been involved with it with your father being an executive in the NFL. As a business decision, put that thinking cap on for a couple of minutes. Is Nick Saban worth $7 million a year?
Every penny, in my opinion. And I actually was asked this question earlier today. I think, without question, if you look at what he's done around the University of Alabama, what he's done for the football program obviously speaks for itself. But the way he's impacted the baseball program, who competed in the NCAA championship, softball team just finished second in the NCAA championship, the gymnastics team finishing a tie for fourth in the national championship, you have the golf team who just won the national championship, all these teams have been a little bit affected, and then everyone's kind of opened their eyes to the University of Alabama, and people are very aware. When I went to school and from South Lake Carroll came to Alabama, I was the only South Lake Carroll kid of that year that signed up to go to the University of Alabama. Now, my sister is now at the University of Alabama, and I believe she graduated with 6 or 7 of her classmates that all went to the university. The enrollment has gone from 26,000 to over 33 in the time that Nick Saban has taken the job until now. He has had his fingerprint on every aspect of that university, and I believe Dr. Witt said it best, that Nick Saban was the greatest investment the university has ever made.
Greg, I want to talk about the 7-on-7 camps that are happening right now in Tuscaloosa and throughout the SEC. How important are they for the upcoming season?
Well, I think that what you get done in the summer when no one else is around, when no one's looking, that divides the good teams from the great teams, because you can have the talent, but you want to have the teams that have the work ethic as well. So I think they're tremendously important, especially from a quarterback and wide receiver standpoint. The rest of the team, not quite as big, but getting on the same page, doing those repetitions, going through the reads, calling the plays, and that might seem like it's not that big a deal, but calling the plays, sometimes those plays can get a little wordy. So you do want to, at some point, be out there as a team and have that solid foundation heading into fall camp, and I think that's what summer 7-on-7 allows.
Greg McElroy right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. Greg, I go back to your first season starting under Nick Saban. How much reins, how much of the total package of offense did he give you at your first start throughout, and then you look at it when you left here in 2010?
Well, that's a common misconception. You have the whole offense. He's never going to just handcuff you. Now, the way they call plays and the formations they use and how they go about the game planning, that might all be a little bit different, but you are never limited in the amount of offense that you're provided. That would just put a handcuff on the offense as a whole. So you would never want to do that. But certainly, when it's 3rd and 2, they're probably going to be a little bit more hesitant to pass the ball in that situation. Whereas an experienced starter, there's a very real possibility you could get an 11 personnel with 1 tight end, 3 wide receivers, 1 running back, and throw it.
As we look at the SEC, someone that's played in this game, that understands this league, and you look at college football, and as we approach the college football playoffs, do you believe that this league earns the right to have 2 teams in this Final Four? If this scenario, obviously we need 2 teams that are in the Final Four to be selected to be in this college football playoff, but you've been here, you understand this league. If there's 2 teams that are qualified, should we pass them up because they're two teams from the same league?
Absolutely not, and I think that's what this college football playoff is going to do, is it's going to pick the 4 best teams, as opposed to the 2 best teams, which is the way it's been in the past, where it has been a little bit difficult because there really are, in any given season, there's between 4 and 5 and maybe even up to 6 good teams that are very willing and capable of winning a national championship. So I don't think that you should ever discriminate against conferences. I think it should be the 4 best teams, and you can make the argument on strength of schedule, which I totally understand. The SEC is going to get that boost in that regard. So I think that whoever plays in the college football playoff, regardless of what conference they should be, and I know the committee will do a terrific job picking out which teams are going to be a part of it. I think it's going to be a really nice change up for college football. I would have loved to have had an 18 playoff as a fan, but I do understand that's a lot of games. It's very difficult to kind of put together. So I do understand, but I'm anxious to see how everything unfolds.
Greg, final question. You've played in the league. You understand at a high level in college football. You went to the NFL. You know what it's like to play at that league. I want to go back to the current discussion we're having in college football, where there's a lot of players that have formed together in California. Not that you know the specifics of that, but the likeness, the name, should college football players be paid? Should they have a full scholarship? Do you have an opinion on the current topic right now that's hot in college football?
I do. Personally, I'm one for the thought that if they are going to pay players, and if that's the direction that college football is wanting to move, and I, for one, would be against paying players, but I understand both sides of the argument. I really do. But I will say, if you're going to pay players, look at the fact that the NCAA mandates 20 hours a week and pay those players by the amount of hours they put in. Pay the minimum wage and an additional $120 to $140, whatever it may be, a week for a player during the season. That's a huge chunk of money. That's a tremendous amount of money. So I think if they were ever to make a change, that would be the change I'd like to see them make. But then again, I, for one, have always kind of stood by the fact that an amateur athlete is what makes college football very, very special, and the fact that they're not getting paid makes it even more special. They do it for pride and love of sport.
Well, and I know it's a debate that we've had, but, I mean, you know, the NCAA just approved the other day where you could have extra cream cheese without really – and I know that's being sarcastic, but that was an all-you-can-eat buffet that you don't have to worry about second portions or extra pickles or extra ketchup. The cream cheese is now – it's not a special benefit if Alabama gives you a special package of cream cheese, which, you know, until a couple of months ago – that rule was removed, and now we've got an all-you-can-eat buffet. After the Connecticut player said, I went to my dorm room hungry, and sort of made that a big focus in college football. I'm there for the full scholarship. I think they should pick up your expenses, not just your tuition, but your room and board. Your meals should be included. I'm just for that full scholarship, and I've always advocated for the players, but I'm very similar on the opinion that you said. There is a thin line of dividing between amateurs and professional athletes. And I think that was a great answer. Greg, thanks so much for helping us out here in Tuscaloosa. I really appreciate the time. SEC college football analyst. How does that sound?
I can get used to it. I'm still getting used to it, but I'm continuing to get comfortable with it, and I'm happy to have the opportunity.
Absolutely. National championship winning quarterback at the University of Alabama, Greg McElroy. We'll continue with more of the game next on the new Tide 99.1, Tide99.1.com, the home of Alabama sports.